Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for September 21st. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and back from vacation is Jim Allen. Good to have you back, bud. How you doing?
I'm well. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I guessed on what day that you were coming back, and I sent you this SMS message, and you landed, and then bang, it was there waiting for you, and you replied. It was like we're connected somehow.
Well, we are connected somehow, and I'm damned if I can explain it, but that's the way it is.
Because I had no information about when you were going, when you were coming back, or anything.
Really? Just flying,
just taking a swing.
Yeah, exactly. You're winging it. You were winging it, and I was winging it.
All right, well, you were the one winging it in the air, so I'm glad you're back in one piece. All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Vladimir Coco Ballantine of the Swallows, and we're going to talk about the pennant races and a whole lot more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so on Saturday, I went out to Jingu Stadium and got a chance to meet with the single-season homer champ, Coco Ballantine. He hit 60 home runs in 2013, as you guys know, and that was in 130 games. But since then, played 112 games last year, and I think through today, he's only played about 4 games.
That's correct.
Because he had to have surgery on the femoris muscle, if that's how you pronounce it. It's one of those.
Yeah. He had Achilles tendon surgery in the off season.
Right.
And that delayed his coming back, and then he got hurt the game he came back.
April 24th, he played and chased after a ball, and what do you know, he tore this muscle. Now, that femoris muscle is in the quadriceps group, and so he had to have surgery. You'll hear him say this in the interview. He had to have surgery pretty much right away and just played in that one game. So he came back, and he's had an impact at the plate because he's been fairly successful, but the team hasn't really won since his return. So,
well, they're 500 since he's been back.
Well, yeah, okay, but they haven't looked good, and
they didn't look good today, and they didn't look good in the first game. So
they didn't look good in the ones that they lost.
Exactly. They looked pretty good in the ones they won.
Right, but he's jumped right back into the mix. He had 3 hits on the day that we spoke, and that included 2 doubles, and he looks good weight wise. His swing looks in pretty good form. I was kind of surprised, and he said he did a lot of running, and he did a lot of running on this Saturday to score from second on a hit in one of the innings. He really looks healthy.
Yeah, he hustled into second to get a double, and he hustled home from second on a single. So yeah, he got in his aerobic exercise.
So while we're talking, we had Hayato Sakamoto of the Giants trying to distract us as the Giants were getting on their bus from the indoor practice facility. And then we had a truck or a bus trying to back over us. But it was a good, and you'll hear the beeping of that as it's backing up. But we had a good chat, so let's check it out.
All right, we're glad to be joined by Coco Ballantine, who is back and almost 100% healthy, and it's good to see you, man.
All right, good to see you too, man.
And thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, welcome.
All right, now you hit home run number 60 about 2 years ago. It was October 4th, 2013, and you've had a lot of stuff going on since that time. What has gone on with you?
Well, I know, things that happen, you know, injury is part of the game, and for some reason, it just hit me, like, right after I hit the 60 home runs. I had a couple years dealing with injuries and stuff, but I'm working hard right now and try to keep my body in shape so I can avoid those kind of injuries again.
Okay. Now, in April, you played in one game. And I know you were hurt because I could tell that you were hurt before you even took a swing. And you got injured even worse during the game. So why were you trying to play through that injury?
I mean, it's just, like I said, it was something that, you know, it's in your blood. I'd be at home watching the games. I go to Toda. I see the result on the tape, on the newspaper. I see the guys playing good. My body is itching to be on the field. So I thought I can go up there, even I wasn't 100%, and, you know, try to play through the pain. But that was not the case. I end up worse than I was before.
And what, you had to have surgery. What was the injury?
It was I had my femoris muscle. It was a tier, yeah, degree 3. So I had to go right to surgery. So I'm glad the surgery went well. I had a good 2.5 months of good rehab. So I feel very strong right now, and I'm glad I'm ready right now.
Now, obviously, they need you. They want you to play. But what kind of pressure was on you to come back and join the team because you're in such a tight pennant race?
I know, but actually, to be honest with you, I think this time around it's easier for me because we've been playing great ball. We are first place. All those guys is doing a tremendous job, so that's just take a little off pressure off me. So I don't have to go to the field and think that, you know, I had to get 3-run home run or 2 home run until we can win the game. So I think that part it's easy for me this time.
All right, now how did you follow the team when you were in America too and other places? How did you follow what they were doing?
Well, I never lost contact with Roman, our pitcher, so we'd be talking on text message and stuff like that. And you know, once in a while, I just tried to get on the internet and check, see how we doing.
Okay, now what is it like being, you know, you're coming off an injury, and this is a really, really tight, hotly contested pennant race right here. What is it like being in the middle of that all of a sudden, you know, last night with your first at-bats?
Well, I mean, I like those kind of situations, you know. I'm the player that always want to be in those situations. So I'm glad I have the opportunity, you know, to be in the middle of it right now in this tight race. And I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, to help my team. And hopefully we clinch the first place.
All right. So a lot of the guys at this time of year, September, late September, are tired. They've been through the long season. You, on the other hand, you've just been rehabbing and you don't have all the physical taxing. You haven't played so many games this season. So do you feel fresh or do you feel a little bit rusty? What's it like going out there?
Actually, I mean, not fresh and not rusty either, you know, in between, because I had a great rehab, and you know, it's my leg, so it's a lot of running. It take a lot of running and stuff to get back where I am. But so my body is not fresh because of my rehab. But I feel great. I mean, I can't complain. I feel like in better shape when I was back in April.
Okay. Now this team is really good at making contact. I looked up the numbers. The Swallows have struck out the fewest number of times all season. So you guys really are good at putting the bat on the ball. Why is that?
Well, I don't know, man. Those guys have the talent to put the ball in play. And I think when you have a team that can put the ball in play like we did this year, a lot of things can happen. And I think a lot of people start seeing the result when you put the ball in play. We score runs, and you know, it's hard to be in the first place like we are right now.
All right, Tetsuto Yamada. 2 years ago when you hit 60 home runs, he was nothing. Not nothing, but, you know, not like this. Be honest now. Did you see him becoming a player like this?
Yeah, I saw this guy. I mean, I don't have to lie to you, and not because he's having tremendous last 2 years, but I saw this guy since he came out with 19 years old. I remember he was playing Nagoya. He came out in the climax area, and I'm like, who this guy? He can play, you know? I mean, you can see as a baseball player, you can see in the swing when a guy can have a good swing, and he just need to, some playing time to, you know, get everything together. So for me personal, his way he's playing is not surprising me too much. The only thing I was a little surprised is the home run total. I mean, I never thought he would be able to hit 30, 40 home runs. Like right now, he go probably hit 40. But like a high average guy, I always believe that he can do it.
All right, so you guys lead the league in runs. So what are you going to bring to the Swallows now that you're back in the lineup?
Well, I know to do best. I mean, go up there and try to drive the runs every time I have a chance to put more runs on the board. So more runs you score, the more ball game you win.
All right, last question. You guys finished last the past 2 seasons, last place. And now you have a chance to win the Central League title. So does that say something about you guys, or does it say something about the Central League?
Well, like I said, I mean, like you said before, the league this year is very tight. You know, everybody playing at the same level. We had a team that, you know, with a lot of talent, and it's just a matter of time where all those guys clicking, and I think they start clicking it. So I hope this is not the end. I hope we will be in the race, not for 1 year, but for a lot of years more coming.
All right, dude. Good luck. Stay healthy.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks for time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coco. Always appreciate it, man.
Good to hear you.
Yeah, it was good to see him. And like I said, he really looked good. I had seen some pictures of him before while he was doing some of the rehab stuff, and he looked like he had gained a little weight, but he's young. He's still in his 30s, so he can drop that weight really quickly. Stop looking around like that.
I'm not looking. I'm pondering. I'm pondering relativity, age, mass, all that stuff.
Body mass and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, what stood out for you?
Well, I guess it's you know, it's not anything new for any of our listeners, but you know, he got into trouble by letting his body do his thinking for him, and that happens a lot. Not always on the ball field, but
oh, especially with guys, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not just guys. I got relations.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Absolutely.
Sorry, yeah, Melendo, I had to throw that one out there.
yeah, that was a boomer. That was a boomer one. So, no, I mean, you just, you know, you got to use your hit. You got to use your brain. To be precise, you got to use your brain and be smart sometimes. My body wanted to play. Well, your body wasn't ready to play, dude. So that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And cost a huge cost for that. So, well, you know, it could have been worse. I mean, yeah, it could have been worse, I guess. But so that was kind of interesting. But I understand, you know, I certainly sympathize. You don't want to be sitting around when you think you can play.
And, you know, I totally understand the desire and the urge to get back on the field. And, you know, this him saying that he couldn't control it. But the coaches have to step in, or the doctors have to step in. And somebody's got to say, hey, look, we understand you want to play, man. Go sit down.
You know what? From what I gather, if he had been with SoftBank, they would have said, go back and take it easy.
Yeah, this year, certainly, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Last year, they would have said, how come you're not playing already? Your leg's not broken. You're playing.
If it's not hanging off.
That's right. If there's no
paperclip that thing on and let's go.
That's right. Bring the duct tape.
And I got a stapler for the loose skin. I mean, let's go. All right. We kid because we kid. I was curious about the rest versus rust aspect, because you hear so many guys talk about that, and about that need to see live pitching and to get their timing down and all that stuff. And you know, he just kind of pretty much whacked that out of the park. He said, hey, you know, I had a lot of running, so I don't feel that I'm very rested. He didn't talk about the hitting aspect, but his swing looks good. I mean, I saw he's got a lot of... It was so funny because I took a picture, too. The Giants are in the indoor facility, and they're all facing Coco while he was taking his batting practice. And, you know, the nets are in there so that the ball can't travel. You know, there's actually a section of nets for the hitters, and then they're sectioned off from the guys who need to warm up or do toss batting or whatever. So there's no way any of these balls could go over there, but he was whacking them pretty good. And if there was a hole in the net, he would have found it, because he was hitting rockets right toward him. It was really, really interesting. But his swing looks really good. He looks like he's able to swing like he was before he got injured, and at the very least. I don't know if it's like 2013 swing or not, but you know, that was an interesting aspect. You'd think he wouldn't be in mid-season form, and it seems like he is.
Well, he was those first two games. He wasn't missing. So that's a good thing.
Always, always. I love what he said about Tetsuto Yamada. I love he say, hey, who's this guy? He can play.
Yeah, you see
where
that.
Where have you guys been hiding him?
Well, you know, having spoken to him and spoken to Mitsuru Manaka before he was the manager and he was the batting coach and he'd managed him. Mitsuru Manaka was the batting coach last year. And before that, he was the farm team manager. So he's done the whole, you know, he's had Yamada from word one, from word go. And he said, yeah, you know, we got him. And that bat speed was just amazing. And it's basically been a matter of ironing out his timing mechanisms. It's been a big adjustment for him and, you know, getting used to the pitching patterns and so on. But, you know, because he's got the bat speed, he can make the adjustments. And so it wasn't a big shock for him.
And even Coco being surprised about the homer total, and I'm glad that he was honest with us in that respect. You know, he says, hey, look, I saw him as a high average guy, but I didn't think he'd be able to jack this many home runs. Now, so he's got 21 of his 34 home runs have come at Jingu. So,
yeah, he's got a 1,220 OPS at Jingu.
Yeah, he's taking advantage of that stadium, and it's good. And that left field porch, you know, I think I don't know if it seems shorter or if it is shorter, but it just seems like that the balls to left just really fly out a little bit faster, a little bit farther. But he's certainly taking advantage of that. So,
yeah, 13 homers on the road away from Jingu, 285 average, 848 OPS.
Yeah. So a little bit different. So he's taking advantage.
Yeah, he hits like an all-star second baseman on the road, and he hits like the all-time like a Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer. Yeah, exactly where I was going. Yeah. And the other thing about Coco is I thought even while he was out, I thought, well, you know, Denning is doing okay. Maybe defensively he needs to work on some things. Millage came back and he was doing okay. We know what he is defensively. And they just would stick guys out there. But I thought if somebody would have made that position their own, because I did talk to Coco, and he said he's not exactly 100%.
Yeah, we can see him running in the outfield and sort of like going, I'm not going to get hurt again.
Right, yeah. I don't know if it's I'm not going to get hurt again or I'm still not 100%, but somewhere in that gray area, I think that's the way he's running. We're just going to take it easy here. You seem to run differently on the bases, but in the outfield, he seems like he's a little bit cautious. So I think if somebody had really taken over left field and made it their own, I think Coco would have had to work himself back into the lineup a little bit more, because it seemed like he only played, I think I read in a newspaper article, he only played two farm games, and then they brought him up to the top team, and then he's popping the ball.
He's got three games this season, and I guess one was before he came back the first time, so...
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the Swallows, it was interesting. They came back, and it certainly was right when they needed him. Although obviously he would have been a lot more helpful showing up in like May and not getting hurt.
Yeah.
But having said that, they've done well without him for a variety of reasons. And here's another thing which got me today. Because he was raking his first three games, and then I looked at the activation deactivation list for the Central League, and I saw my misnamed buddy Hirofumi Yamanaka,
right,
and I thought, wow, the Swallows are going to be tough now. And then Yamanaka comes out and he looks like the pitcher the Swallows got in the trade last year.
Yeah,
he couldn't, you know, he just threw law. He was just throwing cookies up there today.
Yeah, not very good.
No, it was not good.
And they ate him up. But yeah, you know, obviously, like you said, having, you know, if you could drop a 60 homer or a former 60 homer guy into your lineup somewhere, that's a luxury. And I think, you know, obviously the Swallows are the only team that could have done that.
Obviously.
And I thought it would spark them a little bit more. But like you said, or like we said, he's 2-2 since coming back. So, you know, the team is healthy for the most part. And that's what I started out saying about this season as it was coming up. That's why I picked him to finish second, is because I just wanted them to be healthy. And I figured if they could be healthy.
And they haven't. Their pitching has been good.
For the
good.
Most part. I would say, because everybody endures some kind of injuries. You're not going to go through this season where you just have one.
But Valentin hasn't been there. Millage hasn't been there. Those are the two big injuries they've had this year. I mean, but two big injuries for the Swallows is like, oh, we'll take that. You know. You mean we can cut our insurance costs by 80% and only have two guys missing the whole season? Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So obviously, with them healthy for the most part, it brings me back to the way they started the season, which was their pitchers were keeping opponents under three runs for some record run. I think it was 13 games to start the season. I can't remember exactly what it was, and I didn't
three look. Runs or less, I think it was. Or was it one or less than three?
I thought it was three or fewer.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just say that, yeah, at the beginning of the season, their pitching and defense was airtight.
Obviously, they had a good start to the season. I'm not sure that they're title-worthy at this point, but...
In the Central League, are you kidding me?
But you look around in the Central League, and nobody's really making a move forward, so why not?
What are you kidding? Who are you kidding me? Who is title-worthy in the Central League other than the Swallows, Tigers, Giants?
Well,
and I don't think the Tigers are title-worthy.
I was going to say, not the Tigers.
Sure.
They're still being outscored by almost 70 runs, was it?
So, I mean, Swallows are the best team in the league, and, you know, so if that's not title-worthy, what else is? I mean, you can't – I'm sure they couldn't beat the Cebu Lions four games out of seven, but
– Well, is that with a one-game advantage?
Hashtag Tigers.
That would be with having Gingero bat fourth.
Well, so why not? And I think it'd be a nice reward for a team and the fan base because the team has struggled with the injuries. The fan base is stuck with it, with this group, even though they've had, you know, the team has gone through or undergone or suffered from all these injuries. So, you know, why not? Why not? And the Carp and the Tigers, they're both in a stretch where they're going to be playing 12 games in 12 days, and I think that's going to end sometime next week. And that's going to really put it's going to tax their pitching staffs, both of them. And I think one of them is going to end up falling. I don't know if
the Carp look like, you know, they've been laying banana peels all season for the step on. They're just waiting, you know, they're just like waiting to take the next step.
Yes, but I'm not, you know, and I keep saying I want to pull the plug and just walk away from it.
No, they're not, because they're good.
No, because they're actually going down the stretch, they're going to play all these teams. I mean,
sure.
They're going to still have a chance to
sure.
to win the Central League if they can just get it together. And I think
But
they can't. That's what I was about to say. But what they're going to do is they're going to take the hearts of their fans and cradle them in their hands and then smush them and then slam it to the ground and stomp because they're just not going to.
That's against the law.
That's because they're not going to win. They're not going to do it.
I have no faith
at all.
I have to agree. I mean, they played Shota Dobayashi today, and I'm thinking,
why?
Yeah,
there's
why?
Enough wind. There's enough wind in the stadium without his bat creating more.
I'm thinking, like, this team, the Carp, have so much minor league talent. It's really outrageous, and they're like using guys who really, you know, Shota Dobayashi is one of these guys. Who I'm going to go, you know, pick a Bill James phrase, somebody who's a talented, who has all the physical skills to play baseball, but doesn't really understand the game.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's Shota Dobayashi. He's an athlete. You know, he gives
you... He's got a great swing.
Yeah, he's got flashes of all this stuff that make you think he could be a really good player, but he just doesn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't even say the lights are on.
No.
I think somebody just forgot to pay the rent, and there's...
that's kind of mean. But... No, I think it's just that it's just not in his... It's not in his makeup, and he doesn't have the makeup to catch up.
Right. Well, the Carp, starting on Tuesday, they play the Swallows twice, then the Giants, then three with the Tigers... And they get the Bay Stars again, and they can't seem to find their way around a Bay Star, so they'll probably lose that game. And then they play the Swallows again, and that's just in September. They're going to be playing some more important games at the end, too. They play the Swallows on the 3rd, or they're scheduled to. We don't know what the rain's going to do. And then the Tigers again on the 4th of October. So they've got a chance, if they can win, you know, a majority of those games, to be in the thing. But and because they're going to be knocking out teams that are ahead of them. But I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. I mean, they have the quality, but I think they're sort of like, I don't know. I don't want to say bad things about him because I really don't understand what's wrong with him. I can look at him and speculate from here distance, till St. Louis, but I mean, I just don't know. I mean, they got great talent and they score runs. They can score runs, but they often as not don't. They've got great pitching, but they don't get great pitching. You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, they're wasting three quality seasons from guys. Chris Johnson, obviously.
Sure.
Kenta Maeda, although he hasn't had a great season, he's having a good season.
He hasn't had a great season in 2 years. So.
Yeah, he's having a good enough season. And then Hiroki Kuroda is having a good season. And it's just all being wasted. And part of it is because that bullpen is not doing what it should do. And what we thought it would do, and it's just not capable, and that's a big part. Yeah.
It is definitely misfiring. I think you never know based on 1 year or a year and a half what somebody can do, but I think the talent is there, but they're not getting the quality that they probably should.
True, and
that was when we were talking about the managers, and I was thinking, you said, Kudo but didn't have to do anything other than not break it. But there's a huge difference between having talented players who a lot of talented players who are healthy and productive, and a lot of talented players who are either A, not healthy, or A, not productive. There's a problem there, and I don't think and the manager may be part of the problem.
Yep. Now, there's a problem in Hanshin or in Nishinomiya in Hyogo Prefecture, but they're overcoming it because I just did the math. They're being outscored by 71 runs. Now, I know this is a sore subject for you, but I'm going to bring it up because you wrote a column a long time ago that never actually ran, I don't think, about teams that have been outscored, teams being outscored having never won the Central League, or was it any league?
No, that wasn't the point. The point was that not in the Central League this year, it wouldn't be such a stretch because there aren't any really strong teams.
Right.
But the point of the column was that you don't expect teams to consistently be outscored and still win.
Well, yeah, my point is that you wrote about it and I'm bringing it up, and the situation here is where the Tigers are being outscored by 71 runs and they still are in position if they can, because they're not going to make that up.
Well,
They're
not.
So they're going to be outscored, but they're still in position to win it. Yeah,
and the reason they're in position to win it is that the team is not the same playing. The team is playing much better than it did early in the season when it was getting its head beat in regularly and winning close games and then losing 10-0.
True.
The team is scoring a lot better. The pitching and defense is a little better. I'll say the defense is much better, whether that's luck of the draw, but at the beginning, the first 3 months of the season, the Tigers couldn't catch the ball. And I think a lot of that is luck. So that has changed. Matt Merton wasn't hitting, and Matt Merton has started hitting. Started hitting in the end of June.
Yeah, Gomez has been hot recently this past week.
So that's different. So basically what happened was, they won when they were what they did the bizarre thing, which was they were very lucky in that respect in the first half of the season, in that they were not out of the pennant race by then, which they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And they won an outrageous number of games despite giving away so many runs and not being able to score consistently. But in the second half, they've done quite well. I mean, they've played well. And I think that's the difference, is now they're playing, they're winning more than they were. They're scoring more. They're not allowing as many runs. They're scoring many more runs than they allow. And they're playing like a good team. And I think the point is, when you've got a team that wins, either one of two things have to go. Either the team has to improve,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to fall back. You just cannot continue at that pace. And I had this argument with one of my Twitter followers. He's saying that, the quality, the winning was a matter of their team quality. And I said, no, the winning was a lot of that was luck, but they've played better. The indication was that they weren't a very good team, but they're a better team than they were at the start of the season. Now, some of the the reason they were bad might have been bad luck. And I wouldn't, you know, it's half a few months is a poor sample size, but they were giving, you know, batters were hit at their opponents, opposing batters were reaching base like 360 right. against them.
Yeah.
And now it's that number's like 290, which is good, not great, but it's good.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, we'll talk about it. I think we're going to have Power Tracks on next week, and so we'll talk about some of the statistical aspects of it. You know, I could see Hanshin pulling this thing out. I could see the Giants pulling this thing out, and I can see the Swallows pulling it out. So I just want to watch and see how it unfolds and enjoy it. Not wow. trying to predict anything.
let's enjoy your baseball.
All right. Let's talk about the Pacific League. Now, the SoftBank Hawks won their 17th Pacific League title, their 19th title, including when you count the one league system.
So 19 league championships.
So 19 league championships. This was the easiest pick in the history of sports. They won it on Thursday night with a 5-3 victory over the Saitama Seibu Lions, and that was at home, so they got to do it in front of their home fans. That was nice for them. And it got delayed, actually, a night, because in part because Yuki Saito won a game for the first time in about a year. He beat, for the Fighters, he beat Lotte on Wednesday night, and that pushed the Hawks celebration over to another night. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I understand that when they gave Yuki Saito the winning ball, he said, "What's that?"
Hashtag high heat.
He forgot what it was.
Because he didn't. He's like, "Why are you giving me a ball?" And that's the game ball,
buddy. What's a winning ball? what's that about?
I've never gotten one of these before.
It's like, I forgot.
All right, so I did want to touch on Kimiyasu Kudo, the manager of the Hawks, because, you know, I had said when we did our manager review, when we had that question, which was a great question from one of our listeners,
yep.
I made the comment that, well, we don't know what he is, but obviously I would like to see him with a lesser talented team and see him have to work harder at it. But just to note, remember, he was going to be the manager of the DeNA Bay Stars. I think it was before
Correct.
They were DeNA. This is back in the 2010.
No, it was when they were DeNA.
They were
going to hire a new team.
So, yeah, they didn't have the DeNA name. Yeah.
Yeah. They the DeNA team had DeNA had purchased the Bay Stars, and they wanted they brought in Takada as the general manager.
Shigeru.
Yep. Former Swallows manager. And the plan was to run the team like the Nippon Ham Fighters, where the general manager runs all the player transactions, and the manager basically, sometimes they'll ask you, but they might not.
Mm-hmm.
And Kudo said, I'm not good with that.
Right.
And so then they found Kyoshi Nakahata skulking around somewhere in a broadcast booth and said, "Hey, that guy looks like he might do it."
He looks like he knows something about baseball, and he used to play with the Giants. We need him. So, yeah. you're thinking, maybe there's some people out there who are thinking, well, this guy could have made this impact with the Yokohama Bay Stars.
I think that's not – I don't think that's unreasonable.
I don't think it's unreasonable, but I don't think they would have gotten this guy, because after he didn't actually go to the Bay Stars, he did a lot of more work in the States, as I recall, because he still wanted to play. I thought he wanted to be a player manager, so to speak, and that was part of the he was going to retire.
Yeah.
But he was going to the States, and he was working out there, and I think he learned a lot about this conditioning.
Well, that's been an ongoing thing for him.
Right, because he pitched into
20 years.
Right, into
and he has a graduate degree in sports science, so.
Okay. So I'm not sure they would have gotten this guy. Obviously, he had a few more years on him, and so he obviously gained more knowledge because you learn something every day. So I just think he developed these philosophies in the body care and the mental approach and all these things. Part of that during this time that he was.
I don't think so. I think he was already there. I think part of the difference is this: when he wants to do something, SoftBank says, "Okay, how much is that going to cost us? Here you are."
Right.
You know, that's the way things work with SoftBank.
Okay.
You want to spend money on what? Are you kidding me? Oh, you're not kidding. You want it? Okay, here's the money. they have, you know, I was reading something our reporter put together today. They built the best minor league facility, the indoor training facility in Japan. They've got the best minor league facility, the best conditioning facilities. They've got the deepest minor league. They've got a third team that, you know, they got all these things going on for them.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that the infrastructure at SoftBank is outrageous. Okay, right. So that's one thing. And I think that's part of the program. But I think as far as doing what he wants to do, I think that was already part – that was there. Because when I spoke to him, a conversation we had about 4 years ago, it was right when he retired and he was becoming an analyst. So it would have been before the WBC. And he said – so I said, what's next on your plate now that you've retired? He says, my goal was to open he was building a business. I don't know how far along it got, but just to be really quick, he was building a sports academy where he had all these people learning best practices for different sports and how to stay healthy and how to, you know, reach a peak effect, peak physical conditioning and nutrition and training and rest and so on and so forth. So this was, and kids would go there in Choshi in or Tateyama in Chiba.
Mm-hmm.
So this was already on the plate.
It was on the plate, but maybe he hadn't eaten it all. It seems like he's eaten it all now, and the Hawks are eating it up. And here's some fun facts about it. He is one of now four managers to have won 200 games as a pitcher and guided his team to a league title.
Mm-hmm.
One is Tadashi Wakabayashi.
Mm-hmm.
Another is Masaichi Kaneda.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Osamu Higashio.
Okay.
And he was the last to do it in 1997 and 98. I think he had titles.
Okay. And let me tell you that next, within about 3 months, he will make that list. He'll add another laurel to that list because he will be the fourth manager to win a pennant, win 200 games, and be enshrined in the Hall of Fame because he's going to go in the first ballot in a few months.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And he is the first manager to come in as a rookie and take a team that is coming off a Japan Series title and win the pennant.
Okay.
He's the first to do that. So
it's pretty uncommon. Usually these teams are often they're changing managers because they're rebounding.
Right. So the Hawks, you know, they did it. They can pitch it. They can catch it. They can throw it. They can smack it. I wouldn't say they're the perfect postseason team because I don't see a big shutdown ace kind of a type guy on the mound, but they have enough depth. They have enough situational pitching to get through. They can piece stuff together. Obviously, it hasn't all been Yuki Yanagita, who's having an MVP season in any sense of the word. But and he's already locked up this 30-30-300 season. They call it a triple three here in Japan. Mm-hmm. So Lee Daho has had an outstanding season, and he would be an MVP caliber or a candidate out there had these other two guys not been doing so well. But
Matsuda, yes, okay.
Nobuhiro Matsuda has outplayed him and been very productive. And I think, you know, the table setters have really been good too for them, and so have the guys at the bottom of the lineup. But Kenta Imamiya has just been—he's just been the peskiest of pests. I mean, you know, you think, well, I can get this guy out. You know, he's the guy we want to go and get out. And you load the bases and you put guys on, and he hits some ball somewhere, either a line drive or a floater or a dunker.
Yeah, he's like Makoto Kaneko come back to life.
Hmm. So they've really had an outstanding season, but their issues come usually in the playoffs, so I want to see them
well, that was,
pull it
you
off.
Know,
yeah,
that was
I think those days are gone, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that was Sadaharu Oh, who had to be, and I love him. You know, I love him.
I know you do.
But he was probably the worst championship series manager I ever saw.
And I know you don't say that easily because I know you guys are
well.
The feelings are mutual between you guys, and I.
But he was pretty bad.
So
they lost almost every playoff series he was ever in.
Okay, so now the only thing that's in doubt, because today the Fighters wrapped up the second position in the PL, so they'll be playing host in the first round or the first stage of the PL Climax Series. Mm-hmm. So. That means it's between the Lions and the Marines, and I wouldn't say neither team wants it. I look at them and they're just playing tight. They're just playing tight. And the Lions today had a game where they had a 5-run lead. Kishi hadn't allowed a hit. Then all of a sudden he allows a hit, and the gate, the floodgates open, and he can't get anybody out, essentially, and he ends up losing a game. Well, he didn't lose the game, but they had a 5-run lead that evaporated in a 7-run inning, and they end up losing this game.
Yeah, that was weird. Three guys in that inning had a bad inning, and Takekuma was a losing pitcher who gave up one hit.
Well, yeah, one guy. He didn't have a chance to have a bad inning. He had a bad at-bat, and that was it.
Yep. And okay,
so I think one. Yeah, I think even the manager, I mean, you know, let the guy pitch. I mean, come on. Anyway, so they lose the game, and
yeah, you gotta wonder. But Kishi's fragile ever since Watanabe decided he needed to be a way back, you know, old school pitcher in the 2008 Japan series. He's been really fragile, so I don't know if that played into it at all.
No, I don't know. I mean, I was at work. I don't know exactly why he was not getting guys out anymore. I was listening to the game intently, but I wasn't able to see the pitches. But I don't know that Takekuma had to come out after just giving up a hit, because it's still the sixth inning. So.
Well, because he's a lefty. You know that.
Well, yeah, okay. That makes it all that makes sense now.
I know, in the fifth inning, let's use three pitchers because... because there's guys out there wearing Lions uniforms in the, you know, are in the bunker,
right?
In the bunker wearing Lions uniforms. Let's let them see the light of the dome.
Right. So meanwhile, the Marines were down in Fukuoka, and they couldn't manage a run, and they ended up losing 1-0 to the champs, to SoftBank. And you know, Senga, they pull Senga off the shelf, and he's 2-0 and pitches 8 scoreless. And
yeah, it's good to be frustrating. A strong 2-0.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he looks like the guy I really liked 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 3 years ago, even. So, you know, I want to give the advantage to the Marines, because they have, you know, five or six more games to play than the Lions. So I think
In other words, it's a bit like the Carp in that they have the opportunity to win. So
because they're going to be on the field, you know, they there's only a one game difference. And, you know, if I were the Lions, I would have liked to have had maybe a 2.5 game lead on them. And that's, you know, that means they're going to have to win almost all of those games that they have left over, you know, in between, because they still are going to meet one more time. But they don't. They only have a one game advantage, and I think that could disappear in a hurry, especially if the Lions, if the Marines get hot like we've seen them. I don't think any of these games are going to be easy by any means, but as long as they're on the field, I think they have a chance. So I might give them the edge heading down the stretch here. Making a seamless transition. Now, we had a bunch of guys retire while you were gone, and I think one of them even while you were on the plane. A bunch of 40-somethings decided to hang him up, led by Michihiro Ogasawara, Guts, and then Kazuhiro Wada, and they're both with the Dragons, and then Hisanori Takahashi, and he's of DNA, but formerly a major league player, and then before that with the Yomiuri Giants, and then Yoshitomo Tani. And then I saw a report, I think, like I said, it was on the day that I think you were flying...
The day I came back,
you came back, yeah.
I went to work Keiichi Hirano of the Buffaloes.
Right, and then Fumiya Nishiguchi of the Seibu Lions, and then Kenta Asakura of the Dragons also threw in a layup. He's not a 40-something, but he was getting up there, especially for pitcher 30-something.
Ichori Morimoto, his career's been sort of...
Stop limbo. Laughing.
Yeah. No. He was a really good player.
Oh, he was, yeah.
He got hit in the head with a pitch, and he hasn't really been the same since...
Yeah, so all those guys are done. Now, we ridiculed the Dragons, or at least I did for sure, ridiculed them, saying they have so many of these old guys that if they could put together a lineup that we call grandpa baseball or something like that. But, yeah, obviously Ogasawara is the highlight player. He's the only guy other than Yutaka Inatsu to win MVPs in both leagues, and Ogasawara did it back-to-back, 2006 with the Fighters, 2007 in his first year with the Giants. You know, Wada was a big surprise for me. I was talking to the Dragons beat writer. I think the last time I talked to you was when I was out there talking to the Dragons beat writer. And we were thinking that, you know, he still got a good swing. I'm going to miss that swing. He still got a good swing. He could probably go to the Pacific League and DH, but I don't think that the Dragons can use him. And obviously he's coming off knee surgery and all that other stuff. I don't think they want to put him out in the outfield too much. And we had this long conversation, and he actually told me that Tanishige, he's the other guy who's retiring. I forgot to mention him in the top thing, but Motonobu Tanishige also said he's going to retire, so the catcher skipper is going to concentrate on just skippering instead of worrying about trying to catch as well. So we were talking about all these guys, and we thought he was going to continue to play. And I think he said, I heard him in his press conference the other day, he said, the GM said, hey, we're not really going to offer you another contract for next year. And he says, well, he started thinking about where should I go, and he said the answer was home. And so
we're speaking of Wada.
Wada, yeah, Wada. So he's gonna be done, and I can't believe it. But the, you know,
well, we also, yeah, if I was, you know, if I was married to his wife, that's where I'd be.
Well, you are home, but anyway.
True.
They didn't mention. Nobody has heard anything, or I haven't heard anything about Masahiro Yamamoto. I would think that he's gonna announce. You know, I would have thought he would announce before Wada, but I guess he's still going to try. Maybe they're going to try to get him out there, wheel him out there for one last game this year.
It's unfortunate. I haven't seen what he's done recently. I know before he made his first start, he was very effective in the minors. I mean, really effective.
Yeah, I heard that he had done
it. So I haven't been following, you know, and I think there's an injury. He jammed his thumb.
Right.
And, he jammed his thumb, and that's prevented him from playing. And I think that has been an injury. I don't think he's played, because we get every minor league report on him.
Mm.
So I don't think he's been playing. So I think it's just a matter of his thumb being healthy to come back. You know, it's a freak accident. And, you know, the guy is 50 years old now. And, what's a jammed thumb? What's there? It's 51, 50? Yeah. You know? Keep going, baby. He could bat and get a double, you know, and get the record for most extra base hits by a 50-year-old.
So, anybody surprise you on the list? I thought he was going to try to hang around and go for 2,000 hits, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. And I think I said that either this year or last year, and
It looked ridiculous until he got his, you know, he played a couple of games, and he looked really good for about 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his body reminded him that he wasn't that kid with the sweet swing anymore.
Right.
Nishiguchi, Takahashi. No, not really. No surprises. Nishiguchi. Actually, the funny thing about Nishiguchi's retirement is that he actually talked about it. You know, anytime he opens his mouth, it's kind of news. And he said, "Oh yeah, blah." You know, he's one of these guys is like, you know, he spent his career waiting to talk. And now that his career is over, he decided, oh, I guess I better talk now or hold my peace.
Right.
So I remember him just, you know, what I remember about him was the season when he, he had a perfect game going, retired the first 26 batters he faced until Takayuki Suzuki hit a 2-out homer in the top of the ninth at Cebu Dome. In the as the 27th batter he faced, and then he threw 9 2/3 perfect innings, and he won the game. He gave up a hit in the 10th inning in a game in which Rakuten's starter Yasuhiro Ichiba threw a no hitter through 9, and was a losing pitcher, I think Nishiguchi ended up with a one-hitter. He threw 2 one-hitters that year.
I don't think I'm going to miss Nishiguchi that much. I think we kind of knew that he was going to retire at some point, so he's not a surprise. But Takahashi, I think he's a disappointment for me, because I thought when he came back and joined DeNA, he was going to be useful for them.
Because he was a useful pitcher in the majors.
Exactly. And I mean, you see, obviously, with Guts as well, he just kind of fell off the ledge.
Okay.
I mean, he just lost the ability to hit. Now, where I'm going to miss Wada's swing, I'm also going to miss Ogasa Wada taking those vicious cuts and screwing himself into the dirt at the home plate.
That's good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm going to miss that. But Takahashi, I thought, was going to be useful, and he turned out not to be. And I think it's kind of disappointing. So that's too bad. But, you know, as Michael Westbay has always said, when we lose some of these guys who have had jobs for a long time, it gives other people opportunities. So, and it's going to open up, it certainly makes the Dragons a lot younger, and it's going to open up some opportunities for some young and up-and-coming players, hopefully.
Yeah, how about that kid, Masiko Morino? I think he might really do something.
Yeah, well, he's only in his 30s.
That's right.
He's got another 10 years.
Yeah, it's sort of like, he's like the Japanese politicians, you know. If you're not on life support, you're considered a young Turk or something.
Right. Well, you know, Morino, you could send him down to Fukuoka, maybe trade him, and then get Kudo to get him in the shape, and then maybe they could use him for another 10 years.
Hashtag high heat.
He's doing good. You know what he does down there is conditioning, not taxidermy.
All right, let's make a two-seam transition. Now, I did see this story during the week, so I wanted to talk about it real quick. I actually threw it out on Twitter and on the Facebook page, and league officials met this past week to discuss an increase or expansion of video replay. Mm-hmm. And we received some comments via Twitter, and I wanted to read a couple.
Okay.
One's from NPB Reddit, and he said this is it's a great idea, but I don't think it'll work when they do their travel home games. So I guess he's talking about the regional games at some of these parks. And then he mentioned the fact that Lee DeHoe had made some comments earlier about the fact that they didn't have TV cameras at all of those stations. So it's not going to work in that respect. So obviously, if they're going to do that, if they're going to institute expanded replay, they're going to have to set up the infrastructure at these locations so that they can do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I mentioned this in July when I spoke with the two members of the umpiring technical committee, Takeshi Hirabayashi and Osamu Ino.
I think you did.
Okay.
Ahead.
Well, basically, Hirabayashi, I'll ignore his arguments because they were one-sided and self-serving. And I like Mr. Hirabayashi, but you know, his position is umpires are perfect and, you know, let's get rid of the technology. Oh, we're not perfect, but we don't want perfection in baseball because it's inhuman. That was essentially it. You know, he basically trotted out one argument after another to explain why instant replay was actually no good. So we'll forget that. But, the original argument was, Japan will never have instant replay because and you and I have had this argument, we're not going to revisit it, about, you know, you need X number of cameras. Because I'm telling you, because my argument differs, is that if you've got one camera that shows conclusively, then that's more than zero.
Right.
That's an improvement. You don't need seven cameras. If you've got two cameras and one of them shows something, if they don't show anything good, then you don't lose anything.
Right.
So that's my argument. Now, you do... anyway, so the argument by the umpires and by Mr. Ino was that Japan will never have instant replay because it would require the owners to buy equipment, and nobody's going to spend money.
Okay. Now, another comment was from our buddy Patrick in Korea, and he's at K-Ball History, and he said KBO implemented one this season, and it's been really good so far.
You see, now that's the thing that would get it done, is if people started saying, you know, how come Korean baseball is so much better?
Yeah. If they start saying that, I think Japan would jump on the bandwagon and start to grab the steering wheel. Hey, that's our bus.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe. So we'll see. So yeah, there's lots of reasons to do it. I mean, and how they implement it is really the problem, more than the actual technology, because they have the technology to do it. It's a matter of how they implement it.
Right.
And, you know, how they're going to do it in Japan, where everything takes 20 minutes to, you know, how many minutes does it take to change a light bulb in Japan?
Which brings us to our next comment, and that's from Trevor Raichura. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, our Tigers, my Tigers guy.
Right, and he sarcastically says, anything to add a little length to these games. They're just too short as they are, with an exclamation point.
That's good. Good one, Trevor. I love it.
So, and that's my whole issue. I think before, when we talked about this issue, I said, look, I think they're waiting for the states, you know, MLB, to get it right. And I don't think MLB has gotten it right, and that's why we don't have it here. They're close. They're very close, but I don't think they have it right. And you know, we need these things to, if there's a bad call, it should only take about 1 minute, and they call from down, from upstairs to downstairs and say, hey, the call's wrong. You know, this guy never got tagged, or this guy never, he never hit the plate. The run doesn't count. And then that's it, and you keep playing. The manager don't have to come out and challenge, or they do challenge, but they don't have to come out to do it. They just hit their buzzer from the dugout. They challenge.
That's right. I want challenges for 200.
Yeah, challenges for 200, Alex. And it's done. And, you know, where there's not this point where we're wasting time and checking, you know, the team is checking its replay system, and the guys back in the office or back in the headquarters are checking their replay system. No, get rid of all that stuff. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Let's get it right and keep going.
What you do is you have, you know, there's 100 different ways to do it right. And, you know, look for better ways to do it. Just keep at it, because you'll find a better way to do it. True. You know, they could do it like they do on rugby, where the official says, I didn't see it. And he signals the guy, tell me what you saw. You know, they do that in sumo, they do that in rugby, they do that in cricket. For baseball to sit there and say, well, we don't want to do any of that newfangled technology stuff. You know, just smacks of being arrogant.
Mm, exactly. All right, some notes. It's Jogo Akiyama of the Lions. He became the sixth player to record 200 hits in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fourth player to do it since 2010. And those other three players are Matt Merton of the Hanshin Tigers, Norichika Aoki of the Swallows, and Tsuyoshi Nishioka of the Marines.
Since 2010, Matt did it in 2010. Okay, the last year of the big ball. In fact, all those guys did it. He's the first guy to do it since they deflated the balls.
Deflated.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend any football fans.
I thought that's good. Anyway, okay. He's the first in club history, obviously, in Cebu club history to hit 200,
mm-hmm.
to get 200 hits in the season. So congratulations to him. Dennis Sarfate. He had his NPB record of consecutive innings with at least one strikeout snapped at 43, but he is number two on the list of all-time foreign pitchers with saves.
Mm-hmm. Yep, with behind Mark Kroon.
He set the club record for single season number of saves on Saturday in a 2-0 win over Lotte, right, with save number 39. And Takahiro Mahara had 38 in 2007. And then Dennis locked down number 40 on Sunday. So that tied the Pacific League record. And I read he was close to a deal to keep him that would keep him in place at the back of the bullpen for next year. So we'll wish him good luck with that.
Yep.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, our question this week comes from Stuart Miller. Thank you very much, Stuart. He says, is the posting of Kenta Maeda a sad, imminent future this offseason, or can the Carp keep him in Hiroshima? Hashtag high heat.
What do you think?
Me? Oh, yeah. You're back from vacation. You can go first.
Okay. Age before beauty, I reckon. Okay, so I would say, sure. Can they? Sure. And they probably will. I think unless they've considering the market for pitchers in the major leagues, for them to say, we're going to let you have our best pitcher for $20 million when...
Chump change.
Yes. He would have been worth $20 million 3 years ago. But now the pitching contracts are through the roof, you know, for a fourth line, for a fourth starter, $20 million is talking money. So maybe $30, $40 million would be very easy to get on an open market. So for them to do that, for the cheapo Carp to do that, I don't see it happening. And I also don't see him saying, well, I pitched lousy this year, I want to go to the States.
And that's the thing, that I talked to him earlier this season. I did a blog post about it, and he told me the same thing he's been feeding the Japanese press, which is, I want to put up good numbers here. I want the team to do well and lead the team help lead the team to the postseason and blah, 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 blah.
Until he becomes a free agent, then it'll be, see you later.
Yeah, see you guys. I would say that, is it imminent? Yeah, because he's going to go to the States at some point, and I think the major league teams want him. But he has not pitched well the past 2.5 seasons. He's not pitched great. And if I were a betting man, I would say that he's not.
Do you know when he's going to be a domestic free agent? Is it next year?
End of next season?
If it is, they probably will post him. That's the thing. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the Carp would do it if they were going to get nothing for him.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he said he was going to go if he pitched great and had the team in a good position or a good situation, and he just hasn't pitched all that great.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if this team can make some kind of miracle run here at the end and get into the postseason and win a series and get close to going to the Japan series, and he does well in the playoffs and he looks good, because I think what I've been seeing from him this season is because he doesn't overpower guys, he's got to demonstrate much better command. And he lost a game to the Dragons the other day because there were a bunch of pitches that were just fat and juicy right down the middle. And even Dragons guys were whacking them pretty hard. If you imagine what major league guys and the swings that they take, with the pitches he was throwing the other day, he's not going to get anybody out. So right now I'm thinking Miles Michaelis is a better option for major league clubs than Maeda, and he's going to be cheaper. And so I would think they would go for him. So I don't think it's imminent this offseason. And like Jim said, next season's going to be his posting year, probably.
Yeah, I think so. They're probably not going to post him early. I just don't see the Carp doing that. But the option is, yes, if the Carp make it to the Japan series, then it's a whole different setup.
Right. So I guess the answer is maybe. But probably not. I see him sticking around.
Now, we had a question. I'm going to answer this really quickly about what did the Fighters do with the money they got for Yu Darvish? And that's the right answer, according to Toshimasa Shimada, I asked him. He follows the Fighters around, so we bumped into each other. And after I said, ouch, I asked him asked him about it. He says, well, mostly it's still in the bank. We haven't done anything with it. They spent a small amount of it on the scoreboard at Kamigaya Stadium in Chiba. But because they bought the scoreboard, the electric sign and the big screen for the minor league park, they got it from a U.S. supplier. It was like 80% cheaper than what they would have paid from a Japanese company. And as soon as they did that, the Japanese companies offered them like half price deals.
Thanks. Too little, too late, chumps. Maybe next time.
Pretty much. We'll remember that next time we build it.
For Ohtani. Remember when we post Ohtani.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening to another long show. Thanks a lot, Stuart, for the question. Now, remember, our 200th Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is October 19th. So please send in your favorite moments via Twitter or email at hashtag JBWMemories. Send questions via email or tweet us at hashtag highheat at JBWpodcast. To send an email, send it to yakyu@john@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page and leave us a note there. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.